Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news, sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
Welcome again to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. If this is your first time here, I want to welcome you. Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. Now, on this program, we're going to have, I know how last program went, but we're going to have the remaining members of TLC versus the Family of Left Eye. We don't know if this is a black-on-black crime, but this is just going to be our discussion. We're going to find out. And we also have on the program a discussion. Sometimes we do this on black-on-black crime when we have a little time, but all of that Paula Deen stuff was in the news for so long. We are going to have a discussion and how some of the black media responded to Paula Deen and what our response is going to be to their response. So not only is it just our... it is the response to what is going on with Paula Deen. So on that note, I just want to welcome you again to Black on Black Crime and tell you our call-in number today is 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. The chat will be open in a second. You know, I'm just a little slow on the chat today. And if you missed our shows, you can always check them out in the archives. You can go to Esprit Radio. soulofsyracuse.com. That's Esprit Radio. Soul of Syracuse. S-O-U-L of Syracuse. S-Y-R-A-C-U-S-E.com. If you want to check out those shows. Now, last week's show, it was kind of similar a little bit. We had Rochelle Ates versus TLC, and all she did was, you know, she kind of took the side of Pebbles, you know, not really defending her, but she kind of talked about, because she's playing Pebbles in the upcoming biopic, that some of the original members or the original members are producing. So she just made some comments, and we talked about that. We talked about Merrily Evers versus the NAACP. I know we all got hot on that topic. So if you want to check that out, that's in the archives. And, you know, some Palestinian group, you know, made a video directed at Alicia Keys for her, you know, going to Israel and not caring about Palestine, I guess is how they were taking it. They did a spoof on Girl on Fire, that video. So if you want to check that out, that's in the archives. Just go to espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com. I think I've got a chance to fit everything in. Now, before we get started, I want to just go and talk about some news stories that happened throughout the week, because, you know, sometimes since we're a weekly show, we miss some of those. But, I don't even know where to begin. Now, this weekend, ESPN kicked off their Title 9 for 9 series, or this week, with the award-winning documentary short called Coach. Now, it was produced by Whoopi Goldberg, which centers around Vivian Stringer, who was a prolific college basketball coach. She was the first to lead three different schools to the NCAA Final Four. She led Cheney University of Pennsylvania, Iowa, and Rutgers. And she received the highest honor of all in 2009. She was placed along Michael Jordan, John Stockton, Jerry Sloan, and David Robinson as inductees into the Basketball Hall of Fame. So if you didn't get a chance to check that out, I'm sure they'll be replaying it on ESPN. But it's ESPN the Title IX for Nine series with a bunch of different programs and the different profiles and different people that they're highlighting. Also, in Ohio, a school in Ohio has banned Afro Puffs and Twisted Braids for girls. Now, the Horizon Science Academy reportedly sent the note home, and they actually posted the note, so it's not reportedly. We're reporting that to you. But they advised parents that Afro Puffs and small twist braids were no longer allowed to be worn by students. The letter from school administrators was posted online. It notes the following: Afro Puffs and small twisted braids with or without rubber bands are not permitted. I know I stumbled over that, but that was just crazy, with or without rubber bands. But a lot of the online comments said things like, are you saying you can't ban ponytails? That's just putting a regular ponytail in, and if it turns out to be an Afro Puffs, I don't know, you get sent home. But that is just something that was in the news that I thought it was would be interesting to talk about. We'll have to ask Kai when Kai comes on. But we also, Own had its premiere broadcast of Bill Duke's Dark Girls. It premiered last night at 10 o'clock. I have no information, didn't watch it. After that was Oprah's conversation with the four black actresses, Alfre Woodard, Viola Davis, Felicia Rashad, and Gabrielle Union. It was an hour-long episode of Oprah's Next Chapter that followed Dark Girls. So the actresses opened up about the challenges, criticisms, and competition they faced as African-American women in the entertainment industry. So let's see. Let's see if Kai is available to tell me about this. I'm not sure if she's seen it. Hey, Kai, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
Okay, that was kind of an abrupt introduction. I usually go slower. Author
okay.
and columnist, solo circus.
I'm multitasking. How are you?
Good.
I'm babysitting, texting, watching The View, a couple of things.
Oh.
I just saw that Paula Deen commercial. That's what made me a little distracted. I mean, not commercial,
oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, that interview.
Yeah, oh, well, I'm going to play a couple of things from Paula Deen today because I know later
mm-hmm.
on we still have a lot more. And even last night, over the last 24 hours, you know, QVC had to release their statement, and all these other
mm-hmm.
people have released statements that they're putting that. See, I'm about to call her name already. Show just started.
Okay.
I know. Hold on. Let me get it back first. Yeah, so they released a statement, but they pretty much are saying that they want to watch and see what happened and see what kind of fallout.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah, and before Finesse gets on here, I just want to say he's probably going to have a problem with that Bill Duke documentary, Dark Girls.
Dark
so
Girls.
I didn't see any of this. Well, I know Kathleen said she was watching, Daniel
yeah.
was watching, and so I wasn't
yeah, I
sure if you saw this.
I did see it. And
mm-hmm.
it's one of those things, like, for color girls, I think every, not just every person of color, but every human being should watch it because it was disturbing, but it was enlightening at the same time. The disturbing part is that even still, some of our own people are the ones who discriminate against us the most. And a lot of the girls shared that, you know, just in comments they made, like, one girl said her friend had a baby and she was so happy for her friend, and her friend just kind of off the cuff said, "Thank God she didn't come out black," you know, stuff like that. I'm like, really?
And you know, I'm laughing about that because you know, Finesse and I, Finesse just put his hand up, but we were talking about that, and it is a whole different world in this country having a dark
mm-hmm.
complexion. So
yeah.
that's what
yeah.
oppression does. It makes black
right.
people act like that towards other black people.
Right,
and that's
you, I mean, and they feed into the stereotype. It's, you know, some of it is ignorant. What really incensed me, there was this young black guy on there. He said that he doesn't date black girls because he doesn't date dark-skinned girls because they look funny standing next to him. And my first reaction
did he look
was,
funny?
You look funny. It, don't blame it on them. You look funny.
Exactly.
I thought, that young man needs to be educated, because the more I listen to those young women, the more I realize that someone passed that ignorance down to him, and he passed it down. He thought it was funny. He said it kind of matter-of-factly. he passed it. He's passing that same ignorance down to someone else. And I was like, you know, instead of being mad at him, he talk about an open letter that needs to be a closed conversation. So
yeah.
I was really upset at first, but you know, it was great. It was a really good documentary.
And like I said a long time ago, the problem is more like not just ignorance on their part, but it's ignorant for them. Well, it's a part of being oppressed, right? And so oppression makes you believe that this is ugly or that's ugly. So I am
keeping with Paula Deen, some of the stuff that the ironic, because you know, sometimes I think probably more than I should. The ironic thing is what Paula Deen was saying out loud is what some of the older aunts and grandmothers of the South were saying to their very own kids and grandkids.
Yeah, but that's,
you know,
that's
Paula
their
said
problem.
It a little differently. It stings a little more because it comes from someone who's not one of us, but kind of what she was saying and what they were saying. I said, that's ironic that that movie, that that documentary came out around the time.
Right,
you know,
as all is.
This might be, yeah, this might be the perfect time to have some conversations about it, you know.
Well, and like I said, it's more in the bigger picture is my perspective of all that. But just on that note, let's bring in Finesse, and let's see what Finesse have to say that. Because I'm not sure if Finesse, if you watch Dark Girls or Four Colored Girls or any of that stuff, because I don't watch it. But it just seems like the conversation is there, so we may as well have it.
Yeah.
Well, good afternoon, Kai. And
hi. How are
you?
How
you doing? Good. And Esprit. My thing is, I watched Four Colored. When you're talking about the movie Four Colored Girls Only, I did watch that. I thought that was a good movie because I read the book.
You're awesome.
Thank you. And but as far as the show last night, I avoided the show. Even though I did write about it, I did tweet about it, I did all that, and I thought it was good. But I think what people missed out on, the reason why Bill Duke did that, because there's a perception of Hollywood,
right?
And he was bringing it into how it reflects in society.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And from all the quotes I've seen from all these different groups, and I just had to really go in on one group, but I did it kind of professionally, is that it's a problem for, it's not just a problem for dark-skinned women. I do know that they get it, but I think dark-skinned men get it more than anybody.
Right.
Because, and I said in there, you know, and these same women that complain about how they looked at being dark skinned or whatever, they turn around and then they say, oh yeah, I don't like dating dark skinned men. So you have to take everything into its context and discuss the whole thing being dark, because it's not just a black woman thing, as far as a black man thing as well.
Right. You know what was good though, what I did like, is that he interviewed both men and women, light skin and dark skin. And he got the perspective. So although that young guy ticked me off a little bit, he interviewed dark men as well. He interviewed white men, actually, who referred to the black women as sisters, which I thought was very interesting. But it was, the good thing is it wasn't one-sided. And in one of the segments, it was a guy who said that his mom owned a record store, I think in Chicago or somewhere. And his mom told him, he was black. His mom told him that to watch, make sure he keeps an eye on the dark-skinned guys that come in the record store because they steal. And he said, you know, he didn't know. He was a kid. He was just doing what his grandmother told him to do. But then at the end he said, but, I mean, the fact of the matter is it was the dark-skinned men who stole. And I'm like.
No, who got caught.
Who got caught, exactly.
Because the only one being looked at.
So he's bringing up this perception, but then he's feeding into the same stereotype that his grandmother did, you know.
No.
But it was interesting. If you guys get the opportunity, I tried to watch it with an open mind because I went in at first just mad. And then, you know, when they interviewed it from the young girl's perspective and the young boy's perspective, and, you know, he did a really good job of kind of including everybody in it. So if you get the opportunity, you know, and plus we appreciate every time men hear how we feel about anything. So instead of just
right,
the color out, just listen to the woman.
Yeah, just like I said, I didn't watch it. So it was like, I guess it would be a trick to get me to sit down and watch that.
Yeah, but you know, it wasn't man bashing. It was, you know, there's some pain there. There was a lot of pain there.
Yeah, I think that we don't go through from in the words of In Living Color, from a male point of view, I don't think that we lay feelings out like that all the time. Like, you know, Finesse and I talked about this yesterday, is that when you have a dark complexion and you get the bottom of everything, I mean, your teachers look at you funny, you look funny when you looked at the store, you had to deal, you know, I'm saying children of, like, the late 70s, 80s, Denzel and them wasn't in style. It was El DeBarge and all of them. So you didn't get preference. And so guys never really talk about that, but there has to be some post-traumatic stress to that as well.
Oh, it's got to be. It's got to be. And the thing, I guess, would be that men are more resilient, so they would probably, even if it bothered them, they were able to handle it better or cover it up better, where women are more emotional. And just some of the things that these women said that they call
them.
Yeah.
I think it's because women are like that. Guys don't necessarily get on other guys about looks. Women do that to other women. They're cruel.
Right.
The mean girls are cruel.
And
now,
just for the record, I always found a chocolate man more attractive than a light-skinned man. Even when light-skinned was in.
For the record. Ding, ding. I should have got a bell for that. Like that. That's what every time it goes on the scoreboard, it's like, ding, ding. We'll start
just
keeping
count.
Just
in the atmosphere.
Oh, no. And did you get a chance to see this show after with Oprah and Alfrey Woodard and Viola Davis and Felicia?
That was
Chad.
Really good.
Mm-hmm. Was it?
Yeah, it was great. Watch that one too if you can. That was good.
Okay.
It's
yeah,
so
I wasn't
good
really
to see these women with these vibrant colors on and these articulate conversation. And I mean, not that was surprising at all, but these are some, you know, some powerful women, some women to be reckoned with. But just some of the stuff that they do behind the scenes that you wouldn't even know about. It was awesome.
Yeah, I saw some previews from it, but I didn't watch too much of it, but I'll have to go back and check it out.
Yeah.
But, yep, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on S3 Radio. You can call in and join us, 909-265-9189. We're going to take a break and come back. We're here with my girl, Kai. Hey, girl.
Hey.
And we have Fidesz. We'll be back after we take a quick break. After this message. All right, we'll be back.
Welcome to Esprinet News. 90-second news break. World leaders of the G8 major economies agreed on a plan to clamp down on money launderers, illegal tax evaders, and corporate tax avoiders. Governments agreed to give each other automatic access to information on their residents' tax affairs. They also agreed to stamp out ransom payments to kidnappers. The CBO just released their analysis of the fiscal impact of immigration reform legislation from the Senate, and it turns out that the bill is expected to lower the budget deficit by $197 billion over the next decade. Domenico Doce and Stefano Cabano were each sentenced to 1 year and 8 months in jail by an Italian judge for failing to declare $1.34 billion in income tax. The designers and their accountants had already been fined nearly $450 million in April in a related case. Under the Italian justice system, jail sentences of 2 years or less for nonviolent crimes are typically suspended. Celebrity chef Paula Deen has admitted to using the N-word and telling insensitive racist jokes during a May 17th deposition that was videotaped, and also confessed her brother's cocaine, pornography, and alcohol addiction. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for Esprinet on ACN.
When we created the Acura RLX, we decided to take the other road. We believe luxury isn't about bling or flash. Courage invites critics. Go ahead. Future innovations are born from conversations. And sometimes a road that's less traveled is the one that surprises you. Introducing the Acura RLX.
Starting Sunday, this coming Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, a new show called Professional Style, where we talk about singles, professionals, parents, travel, lifestyle, and living. If you are a professional, if you're single, you're a parent, or whatever your status in life, Professional Style, every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on Ask Kathleen Network.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. You can call in and join us at 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. The chat room is now open. We're on with columnist Kai Sims. Hey, Kai.
Hey.
And we have Finesse bringing it up. I know he sounds like he's a little busy, so he's kind of low today. What up, Finesse?
Hey, what's going on?
Yes. All right, I was going to say you had us on mute. Now, on this program, of course, our main topic, we're going to go into that because I know that whole black media response thing to Paula Deen. We have some clips from Paula Deen and some other stuff, and we want to talk about that from a bunch of different angles. But I want to start off the show with hip-hop group TLC versus the Lopez family. I don't know if you guys heard about what happened with Lisa Lopez's family. Now, Left Eye, they're having some anniversary stuff going on with the upcoming biopic that's coming out with on VH1.
Lil Mama and,
yes. And what's her name? I forget her name. Kiki Palmer.
Kiki Palmer. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And Drew Sidora. So they're coming out. And so they released this, I don't know, it's a 20th edition, anniversary edition of Waterfalls. And they did a remake, a Japanese edition of Waterfalls.
What?
So yes, but it's only in Japan. You can only find it in Japan. So they did this release of this 20th anniversary edition. And apparently Lisa's family is a little upset. Now, TLC, the report says that they re-recorded their biggest hit, Waterfalls, to the dismay of Lisa Lopez's family. The new version was included in the late singer, or she was excluded from the track completely. So,
really?
T-Boz and Chili, for example, their original vocals were there, but they said T-Boz and Chili replaced their vocals with this Japanese pop star, Nami Amaru. Now, I've never heard of her, but they said what was intended to be a celebration in honor of the TLC's 20th anniversary has instead upset extended family members. Now, Lisa's sister, now get this, Raindrop Lopez, didn't know that was her name, said, I didn't know about it until a fan posted online. She said, I mean, it would have been nice if they would have given a heads up before being surprised. So she also said her mother was shocked and hurt as well because she felt as if keeping Lisa on the song would have honored their daughter's memory. So I'm not sure. Did you hear anything about that at all?
I didn't. This is the first I've heard of it.
No.
Oh, because I
could have sworn.
I'm going to play a clip of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just in case you didn't hear it, it sounds like Vanessa's talking in the background, by the way.
Yeah. but, you know, I'm wondering, why would they not, we're not even in the business like that. It just seemed like they would know to contact the family out of just respect and, you know,
Oh. Unless you have to pay something.
I don't think it even has anything to do with paying for anything one way or another. I think it has more to do with they were releasing it in Japan and they wanted some kind of Japanese kind of feel to it. What I think. So here's,
it could have
here's
been harmless.
Yeah, so here's what I'm going to do. And they didn't re-record it, by the way. The reports are saying it was a re-recorded release of it. It was the same vocals and everything. So I'm going to play. Yeah, so let's see if Finesse is available. Finesse, did you hear anything about this story?
No, I didn't hear anything about that story.
Oh, okay. Well, let me give you a minute because I'm going to play a little bit of it. I have about a minute take of it. So I want you guys to hear it and let me know what you think about it because I already heard it in. I'm not thinking too well of it, but I try not to sway too much. But here is Waterfalls. And again, they didn't re-record it. It is just a remix. They added the vocals. They added a vocal from a Japanese singer called, I forgot the name already. It is Naimi Amaru is the singer. So she's taking Left Eye's spot on.
She's a Japanese singer.
Here. Yeah, she's definitely a singer. As I know, I couldn't really tell what she was saying, and I've listened to it quite a few times.
Yeah.
So when I heard it, I kept saying, well, they just tried to give it a Japanese flair to it, but I'm not sure if it was disrespectful to Left Eye.
Right. You know what? It probably all kind of, probably all could have been solved if they would have just informed Left Eye's family. Because it doesn't sound bad, and hopefully, if, you know, from what I gather, they were really close to Left Eye's family. So, you know.
I don't think
being a hit in Japan. Yeah. I can actually see it being a hit in Japan, but if they did it for profit and didn't tell her family, then that would not be real cool.
I know when they do mixtapes, sometimes you take a voice out and somebody else put their voice in. Could that be the case here?
Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I'm guessing from a Japanese perspective, they would be flattering. That's something they would probably really enjoy. But, yeah, probably if they had just informed her family, it could have been a tribute. It could have been looked at, you know. But it's not bad. I can see it selling in Japan.
Well, yeah. I know as DJs, when we making the mixtape, and you might find the instrumental or you find the vocals, and then somebody else comes in that's up and coming, and they may lay down a track. I remember doing that with Flavor in Your Ear a few times. And necessarily it doesn't have to be where it's T-Boz and Chili that did it. It could be somebody else that done it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, right. But, yeah, but I think their problem is that this is on their official 20th anniversary release of, so it's actually on the label. So I would think the label did it more than T-Boz and Chili.
T-Boz and Chili.
Yeah, because you got to remember, too, that T-Boz and Chili may not even own the rights. So anybody can do
it. Actually, I don't think they own the rights to it at all.
Right.
I mean,
so,
I think,
you know, if they,
but I think
if
Lisa
somebody
wrote
go,
it.
Well, Lisa wrote her part. That's why they could easily take it out, because she wrote it.
They didn't that might have done it, too. They didn't need permission. If the song was written by Babyface or something, and it's owned by their label, if they took out Lisa's space, they may not be violating her. They may not have to notify her for publishing.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
But it would have been nice, out of respect.
But, you know, when you're talking about the record label, I guess that's a whole different animal than, you're right, it may not even be in control of T-Boz and Left Eye, because I just don't see that as being something they would just do and not tell the family.
Yeah. Now, I saw some Internet comments, and this is on some of the foreign websites and, like, YouTube, but one of the comments says, there's no TLC without Left Eye RIP. I can't fathom why the girls would be so cruel. That was someone from London.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again,
mm-hmm.
this is a foreign story since this is going on in Japan, but it's filtering back here. It says, this sounds awful. If you're going to replace Left Eye, at least replace her with somebody amazing, not this crap. Good Lord, that was pretty hard.
Please.
And another one says about the singer, Nami Amuru. Jeez. She got billions of yen, but I got to admit that to re-record this song is not a good idea. And that was a comment from somebody from Japan, actually.
From Japan,
but
yeah.
And she's big. Like, you should see the stadium stuff that she's done, and she's been recording over 10 years.
Yeah,
see, that's
done
why
that
I'm wondering if maybe that's why they did it, because she's such a big star there.
Yeah, they didn't just get a scrub.
You know. Right, exactly.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I mean, that would make
that
sense. You know?
Right. Right. Mm. They didn't just get somebody. And it says, you didn't, and another comment just says, you do not cut the icon Left Eye out of the song. She made the entire song. And that is from that person's perspective. Go ahead.
And see, that's what a lot of people don't understand. It's a business, and it's a hot record, and somebody comes to you because they have foreign licensing agreement, so they probably paid big money to redo that record, and she's huge over there, and this is not the first time she's done a record like, you know, something to this effect.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you got to take Left Eye out of it in order to do the record, because they're not going to pay, you know, whoever is not going to pay them. So I think there's more to the story, but people don't understand that, so when they hear it, they run with it.
Yeah. Right.
Even in some of the comments, they were talking about other songs, and they was like, well, I think so-and-so did a better job with Waterfalls. I think they, in foreign countries, other artists get on those American songs.
Mm.
Kind of how that is. So they were just saying, I think so-and-so's version is better, meaning they probably kind of interchange people in there, but you can tell she did her vocals specifically for Waterfalls, because she kind of tried to sound a little bit like Left Eye.
Yeah, and
you
sometimes
know,
they're such huge fans of American music. It probably, to her, it was like paying homage to Left Eye, you know?
Yeah, so I didn't count this for me.
While getting paid.
Yeah, exactly. So for me, this was not a black-on-black crime, like, at all, that they disrespected the family. I don't think that TLC, as far as Chili and T-Boz is concerned, I don't think they did anything. I don't think anything was wrong. No harm, no foul. That's not even a flag to me.
Right. Yeah.
What do you think, Guy?
I agree.
Okay,
I don't think
finesse.
It was done maliciously.
I don't think I don't think it was a crime at all. I, knowing the business the way that I do, I'm pretty sure the rights were brought for that record, and you know
it was on their album.
Chilling and them didn't write it. They only get paid a performance rec fee anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I mean, and they just took Left Eye off.
Yeah.
Right. So for anyone getting mad at Chili and T-Boz for this, your anger is just displaced. Like they probably didn't have anything to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
I guess people are saying since it's 20th anniversary, like they had some kind of approval process that they could have complained. Now, for those who don't know, Lisa passed away from a neck and head injuries in a car accident in Honduras in 2002. Waterfalls was released in 1995 and spent 7 weeks at number one on Billboard's Hot 100. It was a big record.
That long ago? Oh, my God.
I know. Every time I say dates like that, I keep thinking, wait a minute. It seemed like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
But it was just one of those stories. I thought, okay, I don't think there's a crime here, but I know this is gonna fester a little bit. So before it hit the blogosphere, I thought we'd talk about it just to let everybody know, calm down, this is really a non-story.
Mm-hmm.
It had nothing to do with them. And by the way, since I went through my great discovery of the new Japanese singer, Nami Amuro, I thought I would give you a little sample just so that we could talk about it and tell me what you think about her on her. Now, and again, she had some big stadium tour in 2005, one in 2003. Like, she has been out for a long time. But this is kind of a, I don't even know how to describe the song, but it's kind of a, it's called Hello by Nene Amiri.
Interesting.
I just wanted to play a little bit of it just to say, you know, it's kind of, it was popish. I only wanted to play a little clip of it, but she does have some good vocals. Like,
yeah,
I mean, I see why she's selling so many records. Yeah.
No.
Well, I know I just played that one for Ness, but I'm saying she has some ballads and she has some other stuff, but that was
her ballads are nice. I've heard her ballads. I just don't like the other stuff she does.
That actually was a live performance. That wasn't her in studio. So I was watching a performance of her while she was doing that, and she had a good stage show. I mean, it was kind of, again, it was popish. It was Beyonce popish. Like, it was, I shouldn't say just Beyonce, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Janet Jackson-like. Yeah. And so that's all it was. And so as an artist, I gave you the pop version of what she does, but she can sing whether you like the song or not. She has a ton of songs. Like I said, she's been making records for at least 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, they didn't use a scrub on this. They used somebody who was big in their respective country.
Right.
So
right.
I think that's kind of a tribute to TLC. Mm. That's how I take it.
Mm-hmm.
Any disagreement on that?
Nope. I agree. I totally agree. And she's not bad at all.
Okay. I was going to say, I think Finesse is trying to hold his tongue.
All right. Yes, I am.
Finesse don't like her. But, again,
I get that.
I told you I like her ballad stuff. I know who she is.
Oh,
I like
okay.
her ballad stuff. But the rest of that music that she does, I'm not feeling it.
This, yeah, the pop stuff. Well, we're above club age, man. We can't really judge the young kids on their club stuff. So I'll just leave it at that. The young kids, it's just a club.
Well, have
all right,
that
you're
it
listening.
Sure.
You can have a club. All right, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. You can call us 909-265-9189. We'll be back with more of the show. We're going to come back talking about Paula Deen. So I just had to make it light before we started on this.
Yeah, let me get my coffee and cigarette.
And let me start.
Let me get some of that Paula Deen pie.
Oh, see, here we go. You don't need nothing from Paula Deen, and I mean nothing.
Why? I want to get her cookware, her software. I'm even thinking about being in that plantation wedding.
We'll be back.
Straight from Red Lobster Chef to your table for a limited time. It's our seafood dinner for two for just $25. A handcrafted seafood feast made to share. First, you each get salad and unlimited Cheddar Bay biscuits. Then choose two from a wide variety of chef-inspired entrees, like our new honey garlic crispy shrimp or new seafood lover's linguine. Round out your seafood dinner with your choice of either an appetizer or dessert to share. Don't miss our seafood dinner for two, just $25. At Red Lobster, where we seafood differently.
What if you have potatoes, but you've got a meat and potatoes guy? Pour chunky sirloin burger soup over those mashed potatoes, and dinner is served. 4 minutes, around $4. Campbell's Chunky. It's amazing what soup can do.
Dove Men Plus Care presents How to Stay in Shape. Step one, gotta work those arms.
How was it?
Good. Step two, keep those legs strong. Step three, don't forget your back. Dove Men Plus Care. Care for what matters.
Hey, what's the biggest number you can think of?
A trillion, billion, zillion.
That's pretty big. How about you? 10.
Okay. How about you?
Infinity.
Can you top that?
Infinity and 1.
Actually, we are looking for infinity plus infinity. Sorry.
What about infinity times infinity?
It's not complicated. Bigger is better. And AT&T has the nation's largest 4G network.
Only the best dishes make Applebee's 2 for 20 menu. And our newest entrees are just bursting with the jazzed up flavors of Bourbon Street.
Alan, stay focused, buddy. Just need to know that these are your best dishes at a great value.
Yeah, of course.
Who are you talking to anyway?
The world.
The new creamy Cajun steak and shrimp and Cajun shrimp pasta. Big easy means big value on our famous 2 for 20 menu. One app, two entrees, only $20. See you tomorrow.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. You know, Kai, you know I had to play this in honor of Vanessa's last comment about Paula Deen. Just wanted to say that.
Y'all talk about Paula Deen. Paula Deen, Paula Deen.
Paula, Paula,
Paula. Where's them fake beans, Paula Deen?
Oh, man. So I just want to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. You can call in and join us at 909-265-9189. Now, on this round, we're talking about Black media's response to Paula Deen. Now, I did read the report about, you know, what Roland Martin and Boyce Watkins was kind of on her support team. Or not the Dream Team, but their Deen Team, I guess is what I'll call them.
Roland Martin, too?
Yeah, they kind of said that they kind of agree with her. Now, I don't even know where to start the story, but just in case you haven't heard, Paula Deen does a deposition for a case that she's getting sued for creating kind of a hostile work environment using racial slurs, her brother's sexual kind of assault. You know, uncomfortable environment stuff. So that's what she's getting sued for. So in her deposition, well, this is what she said. Of course I used the N-word, all of those things. So I won't rehash the news story because there's so much other stuff to talk about. So when she did that, the backlash started coming out, and you started seeing people who were supporting her and people who weren't supporting her. Of course, we know the Food Network cut her off. So the Food Network announced that they will not renew Paula Deen's contract after she admitted the racial epithets, but a black pastor friend of hers said, now, here's me mocking him because I'm going to do this on purpose. Don't really like this. I don't care if it's a black on black crime or not. But here's what he said. Now,
wait a minute,
now,
Commissioner
first of all,
here?
Nope.
Oh, Lord.
Nope. Nope.
Hey.
There is no cut. Oh, it's going to get bad. If she's coming in on this one, so let me get mine in because she is going to come in at some point. Now, here's what it said. She can't be racist. She apologized for the wrong that I've done, but this pastor, Gregory Tyson Sr. from First Jerusalem, see how I'm calling Malachi? First Jerusalem Missionary Baptist Church in Savannah, Georgia, defended Paula Deen by saying, I know her. My children have been to her house. I've been to her house. I've sat on her furniture. I've been all through her house. What racist would let a black man walk through her house? And he also said
walking behind him, watching him.
Was he cleaning? But, okay, so he also said that he was the pastor of Hollis Johnson, the black man who manages Deen's affairs and travel everywhere. She got her own, never mind, travels with her, owns a successful limo company, he still serves her, with a fleet of cars that Deen helped finance. I am so happy for her. Now, she is a mother.
I guess
to him,
those stolen lemon meringue pie recipes work, huh?
Exactly. Wait, She's a mother to him. A mother figure is what Tyson said. He's a pastor, too. This is why the black never mind. I was about to give it a black on black crime. All right. People are going to jump on it and believe what they want to believe and add what they want to add is what Tyson said. He said, but the one thing I can sit here today and look you in the face and tell you that that woman can't be racist. She just can't be. No, I'll just add the second part is Southern. She can't have a heart against black people with all that she's done and all she's continued to do. That's why I'm here today to be a character witness for Miss Paula Deen. He's still called her Miss Paula Deen. He's that friendly with her.
He can't call her
like his vision of driving Miss Daisy for some reason.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm reading his quote.
Yeah.
No, not Miss Daisy.
Person.
I need to go see Django.
She is a beautiful person and a beautiful spirit. I asked, the person asked what he thinks about Paula Deen's admission that she used the N-word, and he said, who hasn't? That doesn't make a racist. Would a racist give thousands of dollars to an organization that helps black boys?
Django.
And I would think, yes, if they had a farm. But anywho, black athlete's not here.
She does have a farm. What make you think she don't have a farm?
She
oh my God.
Has an industrial jail complex that she fight as, but they want to. This is black on black crime, all black crime. This dude
so I guess if you don't pick that field, she's going to send you to her privatized jail, huh?
Or she's going to actually make some biscuits. So either way, you can either get a biscuit or
go to jail.
Either way, it is going to be a bad day. Now, lawyer Robert Potano alleged that one current and two former employees of Deen told him that white staff were paid more and promoted quicker than black workers, and that the Food Network stars, what they called her, fostered a hostile work environment where racial slurs were common. He said that current and former employees told him that Deen preferred white or light-skinned blacks to work with customers, and the dark-skinned people were regulated to the back of the house operations.
I bet you that wasn't on that show last night.
Wow, that sounds like someplace I used to work. Wow.
Wait, and where was this pastor dude on talking to the people who work there? He's like, y'all in the kitchen. Well, okay,
yeah.
Somebody grab me a biscuit. What did he say?
Exactly. Wow.
Hey, with her? Okay. Now, if that wasn't bad enough, comedian Bill Maher, because this is the part where we're going to go into the black people's response. And Bill Maher is
and
not
a semi-black
black, but
black man, Bill Maher.
No. Mm-mm. No, don't even play on this show. Bill Maher is not black. He will never be black. And
except he dated Superhead doesn't make him black.
Hey,
and that's the problem. He thinks that he is.
Yeah, he really
now,
does.
Hey, wait a minute. If he want to earn his black card, I say pay-per-view Wayne Brady, middle of Salina Street, go to Syracuse.
Go.
Y'all just work that out.
There you go.
You need to earn that one.
Yeah.
You're going to get jumped into this one. And if you lose, you can't get in. You just don't automatically get in because you get beat down by Wayne
Salina
Brady.
Street.
I just thought I'd share that one.
You know that's
now,
dangerous.
Now, comedian Bill Maher stated that Deen should possibly be given a pass for being a woman from the South, born before civil rights movement. By the way, she was born in 1940. But even asked if rap records should be banned because hip-hop artists also use the N-word. He said, this may have been a shakedown, is what he said. People may be trying to shake her down. That's what happens all the time, so I'm not sure what the original charge is. He could have just read the dog on paper like the rest of us. But she did admit to using the N-word, so the Food Network cut her off. He's saying, like, she got wronged. All right, so, Finesse, I'll give you first shot at Bill
Maher. No, I think you need to let Kai go first.
Okay.
Is it ugly? Uh-oh.
It is going to get ugly.
Okay. So, in reference to the pastor and his blurred image of what he thinks Miss Bean used to be and is like now. You know, and no disrespect to him. Maybe that's the NFC.
Yes, it is. I don't care.
But to say she can't be racist, yeah, she can be racist. She's, like I said, situational racist. She's just not racist, maybe around him. And,
right.
You know, like I said to you yesterday, if, say, she, this happened 10, 15 years ago and she's tried to make amends and she's seen the error of her ways, that would be different. But according to some of the other sources, they said this is it's been going around for a while that Paula Deen, this is nothing new, it's been going around for a while that she was, you know, showing some questionable behavior when it came to people of color. So, you know, this might just be, as they say, the chickens have come home to roost, her buttery chickens and biscuits have come home to roost. You know, it's time for her to make amends for all the wrong she's done. I don't care how many commercials you do and how many, you know, at some point you got to really take a look at yourself and say, you know what, if it quacks like a, if it throws racial slurs like a racist, if it walks like a racist, if it steals recipes
like
a racist, it's a racist, you know. Admit that
right.
She's a racist, and some people are comfortable being racist. If she don't like black people, she don't. But if she's trying to project this image that some of my best friends are black, and I think what incensed me more, I just saw that that segment you mentioned about the blackboard where it just casually fell
I'm
off
gonna
her
play
lips.
That.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Okay.
I'm gonna,
so it just casually fell off her lips to say that. Yeah, that was kind of recent. Paula,
right.
It's time to take some sensitivity training, and taking pictures with black people is not going to give her a pass. We'll
right.
talk about Bill Maher later.
Okay, and so since Kathleen's not here, I wish Kathleen was here, because when we talked about this on her show,
mm-hmm.
she said, I think if I can quote her correctly, she was just saying that, or was it? It may have been Kathleen that said that since people are working there, and Finesse said they're from the South, so, you know, that stuff
right.
happens from the South, or Daniel said that, someone said it.
Mm-hmm.
And my response is, just because they're still enslaved don't mean that we need to pat her on the back. Like, just because she's still enslaving folks, that mean, like, we give her a pass
yeah.
for that. So Finesse...
She's just enslaving them with a title.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Finesse, you're up. Paula Deen.
Okay. And first, I'll say this: Kai is from the South. She, well, she's
mm-hmm.
not, but she lives.
I was born in Mississippi.
Yeah, you know, Kai can tell you firsthand about Georgia. I've been
mm-hmm.
to Georgia. My Soul Radio is set up there in Georgia. I know firsthand. I'm from Florida. I've seen in Florida. There's a different mindset
mm-hmm.
in the South than it is up here.
It sure
and
is.
It doesn't surprise me that Paula Deen says this. Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand from that old, she was telling the truth, and I give her props for you know, for telling the truth, not now
mm-hmm.
knowing that she's going to pay this $1.2 million. You know, she wish she had not said anything. You know, so, but it is a thing that is not discussed here, and Esprey and I talked about this last night. I said there are three different Americas. There's Northern America, there's South America, South in America, and then there's the Midwest going west in America,
mm-hmm.
where they're talking about illegal aliens, and that always points to
right.
Mexicans, like they're the only ones that's coming over here.
Exactly.
Right.
So when you have those three different dynamics happening, and there's no discussion, and you have different rules and different regulations, stuff happens. And when you have blacks who are accepting of this kind of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It definitely ain't a good thing, but that's the culture down there.
Right.
You know, they're going to work. There's going to be folks that work with Paula Deen, regardless of the situation.
Right.
You know what I'm
All
saying?
Right, but,
and I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
what people have to understand. Now, I didn't have a problem
right,
with
there's
it.
No
because
doubt.
You know why?
Go ahead.
Because the Food Network handled it. Once the Food Network handled it, that's it, because she put her foot in her mouth. She should have never said that. She was being honest at a court deposition. I give you that, but not give that lady that $1.2 million. and be about your business.
Okay, now, see, here's where finesse is a little softer than the rest of us, because I don't feel that way, and I'll talk about mine. But tell us about Bill Maher and his statement to want to kind of forgive her, just saying maybe people are just trying to shake her down.
No,
this happened, she should be able to use the N-word if rappers are using it. This is Bill Maher. Go ahead.
Me first? Finesse.
No, this finesse, because he wanted to speak specifically about Bill Maher.
Well,
comments about Paula Deen.
Bill Maher has basically come out and said that since rappers use the N-word, that Paula Deen should be able to. He doesn't see why she lost her job and all that other stuff. And I say to Bill Maher, you're just mad because you can't. Just because you date black women doesn't give you the opportunity or think you have the opportunity to use that word. You're not down. And this whole conversation, even on The View, which Espy and I talked about last night, Whoopi Goldberg had to tell Barbara Walters the same thing.
Yeah. You get slapped, Barbara.
and they use the example of every culture has that. Every culture has a language or something they say that you can't use. So you can never use the N-word. And,
right.
You know, basically telling Barbara, you know, you've been with a black guy doesn't mean you get to use the word, and you can't say, well, if we can't use it, no one can use it.
Right. Okay. And so here is to why I actually really like Whoopi Goldberg. No matter what, Whoopi does have money, and Whoopi does not need The View. So when
she
Barbara said that,
damn.
Whoopi,
she will let you
Whoopi
know.
Sat back in her chair and looked at her. She
and,
was like,
and, crossed
look.
Her, and crossed her arms.
And she crossed her eyes.
Yeah.
Kick me out of
I missed that.
To,
I would have loved to see that.
Oh, that. Yep, that was
can I just make a brief comment on that? My thing is, we all have to be held accountable to an extent. None of us are innocent in some of the things we said. And I understand that the N-word, a word that really has way too much power, if you ask me, but I understand how it can be used as an endearing term or an endangering term, depending on what situation you're in. You know, white people can't use the N-word, we can't use the redneck trailer trash word, whatever the word is. The problem comes when it becomes offensive to somebody else. So for them to try and, you know, and you know, I don't care for Bill Maher, but to an extent I understand why rappers and brothers and people feel like, you know, it's an endearing term. But if it's such a word that causes such controversy, there's a gazillion, billion, trillion words in the dictionary. Why does it always have to be that one to describe your homeboy or whomever? I'm not saying don't use it, but I'm saying understand the repercussions that come whenever that word is used. And that word has so much strength that, I mean, it's just not a nice word. And I understand that that's a term that women use. Now, we could call another woman a bitch, but, you know, it goes genders as well as races. We can call another woman a bitch, but if one of you guys called one of us that, it's just like a white person calling someone the N-word.
And it's
you
funny
understand
because
what I'm saying?
They said that on The View. Sherry
right.
Shepherd used that same example,
so,
and she said we call each other that, but if Bill, who's their
executive producer,
was to say it,
Bill can't
it would
say
be
that.
A problem. Exactly.
And what's his name? Imus can't say that, and other people can't say that. But we understand. We gotta take responsibility for the way the word is used, how it's used, and that's not
no,
a word even that I care to use either. But we gotta understand that when that word is used, and that word in particular has so much more power than any other word in the English language.
It's not on
it's
us
not
as a culture, though.
It's a culture. It is.
Self-hate.
It's a culture. And it's like
we
said yesterday, Rome. She said, of course. She said she used it just like she was getting coffee. Because down here, that is a culture.
Mm-hmm.
That's a culture when I walk out my door, when I go to the gas station, when I got, you know, it's still, although a lot has changed, that's still a culture here. She just said it out loud.
But when do you not grow up and stop calling people names? Right, you can't just say I can
when
call you names
right.
when you know
right.
that it's offensive, and say, "Well, we always called you names, so we can still call you names."
Right,
Yeah, and you got to stop. You got to be aware. You got to be aware of the word. And then, you know, God forbid someone from another country come over and use the word. That's just, you know.
We import that like blue jeans. That is one of the things that we export from this country is racism.
Other countries were
not as racist until we started showing them culture. And so we started watching our television programs and that, they said, hey, black people ain't cool people. And so a lot of people did that.
The dozens, the N-word, that just has been something that just has never, you know, that's just one of those things I just couldn't get on board with. And I guess it makes sense to other people, but those are things, it's like a behavioral change. You can choose not to use that word, whether it's endearing or not. It's a bunch of other words you can use, and it takes the power away from that word. You know, but it's like we said, Rome, she's clearly in need of some. She needs to sit down. Because in her culture, when she said, of course I use it. Of course I brush my teeth and drink my coffee. Because that's the culture she lives in, and that's still the culture right around the corner
for
me when
outside.
I walk out my door. And, you know, we can't beat everybody up. And some people agree with her.
We can beat some of them.
I'm fine with those people. I'm fine with those people who tell me they don't like me because of the color of my skin. I can deal with those people.
I'm fine with them, too.
Yeah, it's the ones who, you know, pretend to like me and then go behind me and stab me in my back.
Right. Well, I know that word has crossed international waters because I had a professor at Bethune-Cookman said when he went to Africa, the minute he stepped off the plane, one of the guys that worked in the embassy said, "What's up, Ma?"
Oh,
and he said he was floored. Now,
they was watching Rush Hour.
Yeah.
No. How do you explain that to a whole culture?
You can't. But here's my thing is, you know, there are words that are said. I use that, but it's only between my friends. Now, those that don't like it, like Esprit. I've been knowing Esprit since we were in diapers, probably.
Right.
And he has never liked that. So I would never disrespect him.
Exactly.
I never say that.
And don't do it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So,
him enough not to do it because you know that's a person. It's all about where you are when you use it.
Right, but he also knows that that is part of our culture, and that's how we talk.
Right,
I
play basketball in some of the most dangerous parks in everything I went to, and you cannot stop people from using it. So you don't say to people, "Yo, man, why don't you stop using that when you call your friend?"
Exactly.
You'll get beat up in any park in this country by doing that. So you can't regulate other people's use of anything. Now, when Ice Cube was talking about Django a few months ago, he said it's a part of language, it's profanity, it's a part of how people communicate. It works in a way that cuts like a knife. You can use it to cut your food or you can use it to cut somebody up with. And he said, so the same is with that word or any other kind of word that pierce your ear. So Ice Cube's thing about it was saying, you can use it, but the potency is lost when it's overused, but at the same time, you may use it at the wrong time and something may happen that you didn't have an intent for. Right. Your intents may not be there. Now, one of the internet comments I wanted to say was Bill Maher, someone said Bill Maher is a clown and feels he has the authority on black issues just because he openly dated a few black women and Paula Deen is not different than Mark Furman and will come up smelling like roses in a few years like he did. And another one said she's racist. Is it Bill Maher's claim that Lil Wayne is also racist because he used the N-word instead of focusing on Dean and other white people who use the word like they use a first name? People like Bill Maher want to lambaste or whatever he wants to do to people who use that as a double standard. He said black people get to use the words and whites don't. Why is this so disappointing to him? And this is speaking specifically about Bill Maher. Now, before, I just want to let you know, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. We're just having a discussion about the reaction to what Paula Deen did. Obviously, Paula Deen got some problems, and it was not a slip of the tongue. So we're going to show you I'm going to play a preview of what Paula Deen said in a New York Times interview last year. She's on stage talking about and defending the South. So this is Paula Deen, so you guys will know what we're talking about. and in the next segment.
So devastated. The war was over. He had lost his son. He had lost the war. And he didn't know how to deal with life. With no one to help operate his plantation. You know, there was 30-something people on his books, and the next year's census I go to find, and there's like zero. Between the death of his son and losing all the workers, he went out, I'm sure, into the barn, and he shot himself because he couldn't deal with those kind of changes. And they were terrific changes.
Right.
I feel like the South is almost less prejudiced because black folks played such an integral part in our lives. They were like our family. You know, it will take a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It will take a long, long time to... but to completely be gone, if it'll ever be gone, who knows?
Right.
I think we're all prejudiced against one something or another, and I think black people feel the same prejudice, you know, that that white people feel. But I have a young man in my life, and his name is Hollis Johnson, and he's black
Hollis
as that
is
board.
Here, isn't he here? Is this
Stand
Hollis
up, Bible? Hollis.
Hollis here.
Come
Hi,
out
Hollis.
Here, Holly. We can't see you standing against that dark board.
Welcome to New York City.
All right. Welcome to the South.
Hi, Hollis.
But you know, I tell people, this is my son by another father.
Yeah.
I mean, I love this young man. I would travel to hell with him, and I know I can trust him with my life. And color ain't got nothing to do with it. It's all about what's in here.
Hollis.
That would be Paula Deen trying to cover up the fact that she got some issue with black people because he's black as that board. So come on over here and say hey to the people. It's not a doggone show, puppy.
Come
this is
chuck
not...
and drive on over here. Step and step.
Come on over here and show them your teeth. She literally tried to sell that back to people so that people are cool with Paula Deen. Now, if you saw this clip, there's a clip of it on YouTube, by the way, but if you saw the person interviewing Paula Deen, you should see the look on her face when she said that.
Yeah, because I just noticed the tone in her voice. It sounded like she was like
okay.
Paula, you're not in the South. You might want to curtail that conversation a little bit.
She was interviewed by the New York Times, and she was like, that's just how we do it. That was her.
You know,
was the person interviewing, was she black?
No. I think she was Asian, maybe. She was not black. But you should have saw the look on her face.
Right.
Like she's saying, everybody's a little prejudiced. Everybody's, you know. And then she goes through this whole thing, and she's like, I would die for him. He's about as black as that board. Come on out here.
I'd go to hell for him. Mm-hmm.
This plays to the point what Kyle and I were just talking about. In the South. They are. They still act like it's still whatever time of the year,
but,
and blacks go along with it because they didn't have to go
right.
be on that show.
Because here and this
wrong
is the guy
for that.
Down the street.
That is
no,
wrong, Vanessa.
I'm just telling. No, no.
She was wrong.
You're wrong for that.
No,
go ahead,
I'm not wrong.
Told,
I'm telling
you know
exactly
what,
wrong.
I understand exactly what he's saying. She was wrong for what she said, but
right.
in her world. There's nothing. This is the guy's honest truth. I'm going to tell you all this quick story. I was in the grocery store on Saturday. This man, young man, black, who was bagging groceries with the cashier, bagging my groceries. The cashier was Hispanic. He cracked a joke about he couldn't wait until he got off work. And I was like, you sound like you're going to be busy. Are you going to be able to make it into work tomorrow? He used the N-word. 3 times while I was standing there. So first the Hispanic girl looked at him, I think because she was first noticing that I was older to show me some respect, and Second, that you used the N-word three times. So I looked at him and said, yeah, you might want to pick another word. I didn't chastise him in front of her, but I said to him kind of on the side, you might want to find another word because you can't work in the public like that. And we didn't know each other that well that he felt that comfortable to say that word to me three times. It was great that they took this young man who clearly needed to learn a few things, but it's people like him that made perfect sense to him. He was very comfortable using that word, and he needed some training. Paula Deen, as old as she is, it's like Vanessa says, as politically incorrect as that was, what she said, in her circle of friends,
yeah,
that's normal to her, and that's normal to that black man, too.
Yeah.
He's walking
okay
up there shucking and jiving, and she's saying it.
Right. And I hate, it's not that I agree with it at all.
Right.
But that's the way of the culture that is down there. I lived down there for 16 years. Some of the things I see.
It makes you mad. It really,
yeah, because you're like, this is where the civil rights started.
I'm not considered a dark-skinned individual. And I face it. As a fair-skinned woman, I face it. I can't begin to imagine what some of my darker-skinned brothers and sisters and relatives, how do you endure that without hurting somebody? I mean,
that's a show for another time.
Wait, because both of you guys are missing the point, though, because what happened was this. You cannot blame people for being oppressed, right? And so just because that dude don't have the sense to run away from her, or I shouldn't say that because I don't know if he has sense or not, but I'm just saying, like, just because of the culture means nothing to those of us who are not enslaved. And so those
yeah,
of us
people,
need to fight to
people.
Freedom, and we need to wake them up, Vanessa. And so we have a responsibility, especially media, because we are not powerless, to say, you know what, you should not be treating people that way. And if this is how you're going to do business, I'm not doing business with you. That's all I'm saying. Like,
right,
you don't have to
condone
it.
I'm not disagreeing with what you said. But at the same time,
totally
as media,
we
have to also say, we also have to also be truthful and say, this is the culture and this is the way it is in order for it to go about and bring change.
That was the culture in the 40s.
It's still the culture.
You know what, Rome? I think that way that guy came up, and even though she said he was dark as the blackboard, he would probably stand up for her the same way that preacher did. If you interviewed him and interviewed that preacher, because apparently to him that's still acceptable. And if it's not acceptable, he's doing a darn good job of, again, a situation where around her it's acceptable, but when he's not with her, he's probably calling her everything but a child of God.
Right, and that's my point. Right, we just celebrated Juneteenth not too long ago. Somebody tell that fool that he does not have to take that. If he chooses to take it, that's his business. I'm not getting on him for that. I am just saying, just because she treats another black person like that, she should not get a pass from treating
all
of us like that.
She don't get a pass.
I don't care what her culture is.
She
has to be held accountable, but she also has to be, I mean, and you're never too old to learn.
Right.
She has, and this is another story, I'm going to tell you the truth. My coworker, my former coworker, an older black woman raised in the South, used to get it from white people all the time. And the term she would use, and please excuse me for saying this, she would say, Kathy, you need to come tell me a joke, make me laugh, sing to me, because in a minute I'm going to up on these people and they're not going to like it. And she would say that in a room full of white people at our staff meeting, y'all going to make me up in here. And I had to pull her to the side, her daughter who's older than me. You can't say that. You can't say something like that because all it did is perpetuate already what they were already thinking. You're the angry black woman. All you did was just confirm what they already thought of you. And then some of my white coworkers, as if I'm the spokesperson for every black person, coming to me. I don't have all the answers. But, you know, I was younger than her by at least 30 years, and it just taught me you're never too old to learn. And I had to pull her to the side and was like, you can't say that. That's just not acceptable in this kind of environment or any kind of. But that's what she grew up saying. Love her like she was my aunt.
You talking about Madea for real? She was a Madea. But that's what she said
oh,
on a
God.
Regular basis.
Yeah.
I promise you she was.
And
so
I'll just make a quick comment. Still, in a certain part of Florida, there are segregated pools. Even though it's against the law, but there still is. So and everything you said, Rome, I agree with. I just want people to be aware that there are people who accept it, both black and white, in the
mm-hmm.
South, because it's a
they
different culture.
They have no choice.
No, they have
they feel powerless to change that.
No, they have a choice.
No.
I don't want to tell them my family,
because
I know they're listening. They have a choice. I don't want to tell them my family, because I'll get...
And I hate to say that, they have choices. They're very comfortable. They don't want to wave the water. They don't want to fight. It was a whole new cultural experience when I moved down here. I kid you not.
Yep.
I've learned so much that I never thought. I thought this would be the chocolate city, the up and coming, you know, upwardly
it
mobile black people.
It was.
Upwardly mobile black people, and some of them feel that way, but some they don't want to, you know, make waves. They don't want to make trouble, and they see this. I mean, and don't get me wrong. There were other black women older than me when my coworker was using the term. That derogatory term, never said a word to her. Talked about her like a dog behind her back, but never had that, what do we call it, that open letter or that conversation. It was who pulled her to the side and was like, you can't say that.
Again, see what oppression does. So depending on the relationship that you have with your supervisor opposed to theirs, if they think that you're talking to them, it's like you have some kind of kinship. And we know how this goes being in corporate, is that when you sit at a table, I worked at a company, it was 0.03 black people. And I am telling you, out of the few hundred people in my department, if I sat at lunch with two black people, every white person on my team that passed us would stop and go, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, because they think you're talking about them. you're planning something.
Right, but all I'm saying, though, is that's what oppression does. They keep checking and making sure that you ain't really plotting against them, and that's paranoia, but that's because they consciously are oppressing black people. So when we let them off the hook saying, well, we understand why you think like that, no, we don't understand, and we're not accepting that. You have to adjust your own – you have to adjust your own personality to sign of the times, people. I'm not coming to your house, so I don't tell you how to run stuff in your house, but you don't get a pass when it comes to coming on this side. Now, I want to kind of talk about what Roland Martin and Boyce said. Now, Boyce Watkins said that Dean is a white woman born in Georgia in the 40s, so we have to admit that her admitting that she used the N-word falls under the dull category. Nearly everyone in Georgia at that time referred to black people as the N-word. We just don't accept that. See, I still don't even use it on this program. I just don't use it, right? But they actually wrote it, so that's fine. He said, my friend Roland Martin made a similar argument stating that we can't get angry at Dean for using the N-word, given that so many rappers use it without consequence. I would also be included by some to be part of the Paula Deen forgiveness camp after my recent comments about Paula on Anderson Cooper earlier this week. To be honest, I don't consider Paula to be a poster child for American racism. The most devastating racism in America is structural and has little to do with white people calling me the N-word. The root of black oppression does not lie with people calling us dirty names, but instead lies with universities that won't admit black students unless they can throw a football and incorporate blah, 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 blah. I'm done with him. So you can try to come back from that all you want to, but that impression is all I'm saying. You cannot put the energy and impression up using the N-word without influencing kids. And so when you influence kids, the systemic problems that you have with universities and employment and stuff come from those little kids becoming grown folks. So when Paula Deen in the 40s was sitting around those bonfires when they were probably lynching black folks, and you say, well, she's just used to that culture, hell, if she need to grow up. Who told her she couldn't grow up?
What happens that, and it's like I said to you yesterday, I don't want to take away anyone's livelihood, but she has to be held accountable, especially her being in, she's a public figure. She's traveled around the world. So we're holding her even to a different standard, but she's still got to be accountable for what she said and the damage she's done. But just say that she really didn't have some of a clue. Or let's say she did have a clue and she was trying
how
to make
not?
Amends. Can she be forgiven? But not just by, some people have already forgiven her. Some are not even mad at her. But can she be forgiven by people like us? If she
well, she's not a factor
tried.
To me. So
yeah,
she's
not a factor
to me.
Either.
So to be forgiven or not is really irrelevant. We should not, we have to be smarter than this. And it was Mr. Ed Sims, again, I always quote your dad on this guy, that says that we have to be smarter. He said, I'm not asking you. We're not asking our kids to be smarter. You have to be smarter. We fell for some of this stuff when we were younger. He said, you have to be. And
right.
I always take that serious.
Okay, so say she's not a factor to me. I mean, I've learned more about her from talking to you guys than I knew about her in all this time. I can't get past her voice, but that's just me.
I can't get past her cooking because that alone, anybody
she stole everything.
Everybody that's black. Yeah, one, that's the main thing. She stole everything from blacks. People need to check the history on that. But if you ever watch this show, no one that's black, African-American, whatever you call yourself, should have even been trying those recipes because they led to high blood pressure, diabetes.
That's what I heard.
All that stuff. And she was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. Why would you watch a show like that?
And see, I couldn't even tell you what she cooked. I just saw something. Well, I learned from Anthony Bourdain that she uses a lot of butter in her food. But she never really, I would see her on TV and keep on going, just hearing that voice just gave me a tick. But if, say, she really, I mean, I'm not saying we have to forgive her, but there's so many Paula Deans out there on a lower level.
And that's why
we can't save everybody.
They can be a non-factor. You don't have to forgive or have hatred towards anybody. I'm not saying hate her at all either.
Right.
Just understand what I'm saying spiritually.
Can she be educated?
That's not our issue. We have so much more education.
But I'm saying, in a way, and I guess dealing with some of the people I've worked with, I wasn't trying to save all those people, but some of those people I had to say, because one girl said that my boss was ghetto, and I had to say to her, for future reference, I wouldn't advise you use that word. She's from Rochester. And she was like, she's so ghetto. And I'm thinking, I know you feel comfortable around me. That's not a word I
suggest
you use.
But don't be that comfortable.
Don't be that comfortable because you're talking about another black woman. And that's not a word that you can say in public. Why is that so offensive? I said, I'm just telling you, that's not a word that you should use ever again.
Right. We don't need to explain.
We don't need to explain it. And she apologized for it because she really thought it was cool. She, you know, one of my closest friends are black kind of people. She thought it was okay to say that. So it was worth her having a conversation with. There's some other people out there, it's like you said, they're not a factor to me, but this is someone who I actually cared about.
Well, you can take that on a case-by-case basis if you like,
right.
But Paula Deen is rich and she's in a different sphere, so it's not our issue to even spend time on trying to help her along in her process because she's probably oppressed. We don't know what the heck she did to the black folks with that attitude over all these years. So,
yeah.
But Boyce said, before you jump in, Finesse, Boyce said Paula Deen shouldn't be crucified entirely. The truth is that she represents a part of American history that cannot be tolerated. My perception of Deen is that she could actually be a decent human being, but the idea that she hasn't yet been challenged to improve her racial sensitivities and culture competence over time is truly unacceptable. That's what Boy said. I can tell you this. There's an internet comment that talks about this a little bit that says, when talking about Paula Deen, well, it's talking about Boyce, I'm sorry. It says, Boyce, when you open your mouth, the flies on the other side of the world notice.
Oh, God.
The truth? Mar asked his panel if they thought Deen should be given a pass, and the panel said no, and he followed up by saying, I agree with the panel. In fact, you boys gave Deen a pass, and you have a lot of nerve attacking anyone on the subject after acting like a Sambo, A-word, Negro, in defense of Deen on the Anderson Cooper show. No, I didn't watch this. But it says, thank God, Michelle Angela Davis exposed your butt, and he didn't use the word butt, on the show.
So he's not a fan.
Okay. Not at all a fan. And another internet comment that I did not take said that, who are you to say something like, I'm trying to think who the person was, but they also said that for him to say something like Paula Deen, he said she may be a decent human being. It's like, what does she need to do to prove that she's not a decent human being if she can actually kind of say anything she wants and treat black people? Like the clip we played, it's the reason why I played that clip.
Right.
It's because no matter how much philosophically we say, maybe she didn't understand, maybe we watched her talk to somebody black and treat it like him. We can almost imagine, if you close your eyes, her patting him on the head. I think that was not really far-fetched.
Now, and you know what?
Right?
She doesn't even have to be a decent human being outside of the – outside of – she's got to be decent in situations where she's got to be decent at certain times. She could be a complete jerk outside of work and people of color and all that. But it's about how you treat people. Like, we don't have to like her, but she needs to be respectful. So for that part, you're right. She doesn't give a pass. She doesn't get a pass on that.
Right, and that was my point, is that everybody wants to try to psychoanalyze why she is or isn't and what's going on with her, and it's just how the South is and all of that. And I'm saying, if you're free as a black person, please help those who are not free. It is not your job to pacify white folks. Huh?
Give us free.
Right? Come home. Talk to us. You know what it reminds me of? I was in a grocery store, and I hate to say this, but I'm a child of like the 70s. We grew up in a different time, too. Right? So I saw a little black girl with a white family, and I just made sure she was okay. I was like, hey. She said, hey. I said, okay. And I left her alone. That's all I'm saying. We still got to work out.
And that's what we're supposed to do.
If she would have said, this ain't my daddy, it'd have been on in the grocery store.
Right, right. Because I'm going to sure go back and check on that young man again, because me and him might become mentor and mentee in a minute.
You might have to bring a book with you.
Yeah, I'm going to have to pull him to the side.
I know.
He might be my project.
What'd you say?
He might end up being my new project.
Oh, we might have to make a project out of that one. All right. Well, I want to thank you for joining. Finesse probably is running off and talking on the phone. So for Kai, for Jerome, we'll see you again next week. You're listening to Black on Black Crime on S3 Radio. You know, interesting show, Kai. And, you know, I had to yell a little bit. So
funny. You know, hey. It's what we do.
Sometimes we got to do that. It just
sometimes
ain't right.
You got to go there.
And sometimes you just got to go somewhere and do what?
Set out.
That was from Paula D. Just wanted to give her a shout out on the way out.
Stripling.
All right. check us out every Monday, 2 p.m. See you again next week. Thanks for hanging, Kai. Later, Vanessa.
All right. You have a good one. Getting ready to rain in Georgia.
Oh, it's about to rain here, too. It just got dark.
Oh,
okay.
God.
I shouldn't say that because we're talking about Paula Deen. All right. And in the words of Daniel, when washing clothes, what are you supposed to do, Kai?
Make sure you keep them separated.
You separate the colors from the white. That's all.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
We'll see you again next week.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Later, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye. You have been listening to Black on Esprit Radio.